The following message comes to you from the pulpit of Bethlehem Primitive Baptist Church in Ocala, Alabama. To find out more information about Bethlehem Church, visit us online at bethlehempbc.org.
If you would, please turn with me to Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, and I'll begin reading in the 14th verse. Someone asked me a question a few weeks ago in regards to just the natural blessings we enjoy in life. And they said, you know, it's hard to tell sometimes when we're, quote, unquote, blessed with something, if that thing is really a blessing or if it's a curse. A young man asked me that, whom I know and love and admire and respect. And I pondered that because I asked myself the same question over the years. Some people ask the question, but they don't ask it that way. They ask this. They say, well, what about this particular subject, this particular item, this particular activity that's not found in Scripture? How do we approach it? You know, there's a lot of things going on in our world today that we are all intimately involved with every day that just simply aren't found in the Bible, right? You know, the Revelation 2 says nothing about the internet, really, that I know of. And John chapter 3 says nothing about tractors. And shopping malls are not present in Matthew, the 4th chapter. You know, there are things we deal with every day that really aren't in here. And yet, there are concepts in the Bible that address how we deal with all those things in every culture on earth. Whether you're in Kenya, Brother Tim was mentioning this morning, or you're in Ocala, Alabama, or New York City, USA, or Moscow, Russia. You know, the principles in the Word of God apply to you in some way or the other, whether you even realize it or not.
Yeah, amen.
Now, Deuteronomy chapter 30, and verse 14, we read this. But the word is very nigh unto thee in thy mouth and in thine heart, that thou mayest do it. In other words, modern-day terminology, the Bible's written to the child of God. The child of God is the person who has the Spirit in their heart, who has faith in their heart to be able to listen to what God says and actually do those things. So this is to us. We should pay attention. And he says in verse 15, see, I have set before thee this day life and good and death and evil, and that I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. But if thine heart turn away, so that thou wilt not hear, but shalt be drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I denounce unto you this day that you shall surely perish, and that you shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passeth over Jordan to go to possess it. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, and that thou mayest cleave unto him, for he is thy life, and the length of thy days, that thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Now, this was written to the Israelites as they're going to possess the promised land. We understand that. But also, in a sense, to modern-day born-again children of God, it's written to us in a sense of possessing the kingdom of God also. In other words, we've passed over Jordan. You know, we've been born again, we've been baptized, we're part of the church, and how we live and how much we enjoy the kingdom God's given us and life in general will depend to a large degree on how obedient we are to God's Word.
Amen.
But as I said, there's some things we deal with every day that aren't directly by name perhaps referenced in the Word of God. Are they blessings? Are they curses? You know, sometimes it's hard to tell. You know, someone comes along and offers you a job where, you know, you can make $1 million a year, but you got to move to Alaska and work 100 hours a week. Is that a blessing or is that a curse? Well, it'd be nice to have $1 million a year, even though the government's going to take about half, I'll tell you that. But it'd still be nice to have it. But, you know, should you move away from family and home and church? And you follow me? Those are the things we're faced with. And so as I read through the Word of God and try to understand those things, it occurs to me that there are three. I'm not trying to oversimplify this, but to put it in a context that's easy to understand, I hope, pray the Lord will help me to do that. There are three kind of basic areas, okay, that we deal with in life. And they refer in regards to stuff, things, possessions, but also activities and concepts. Okay, and I'm going to give them to you this way. I'm going to give them real quick and then let's elaborate. Okay? One area are things that God has given specifically for His children to enjoy. Okay? And that would include the Spirit of God, because of course the Lord sends His Spirit into the heart of His children at some point in their life, and it is because we are children that He has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. That category would include the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is it possible for someone who's not a born-again child of God to come down and say some words and join the church? Sure. Are they going to enjoy it? No. Are they going to hang around very long? Probably not. Okay? The church is given to the child of God to enjoy. And the other thing I would say that's in that category is the Word of God. Who's the Word of God written to? Now, anybody can read it. But we know from 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, the 18th verse, the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. 1 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. So the things that we get from the very Spirit of God in our hearts, the church that we sang about in almost every song we sang this morning, the blessings of the Word of God, those are things that God gave specifically to His children. That's one category of things you read about in the Word of God. The second big category are just things that God gave to humanity in general because of His goodness. He said, did God give things to people that aren't His children to enjoy as a general providential care over humanity? Well, sure He did. And you know, and one of those things that comes to mind that is in that category, it would be a marriage and family, for instance. You know, we read in Psalm 127 that, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Now, does that mean that every child that's ever been conceived was conceived in the bonds of holy matrimony and love? No. But it does say that children are an heritage of the Lord. That means that He came up with a concept of family. He brought Eve to Adam. He performed the first marriage ceremony. And if there had been a third person there looking on and said, who giveth this woman away? It would have been the Lord, because I'm giving her to Adam. He also officiated. He started it. He gave it. And humanity in general has been blessed from that institution. Proverbs 18, where it says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing. Has every woman that's ever married a man been a good, humble, meek, sweet child of God that blessed him? Not necessarily. But if you go, a young man, and you seek out a good, godly wife, it will be one of the greatest blessings that you've ever had. Those are blessings that God gave to humanity, that you don't have to be a child of God necessarily to benefit from that. The anthropologists and sociologists tell us, on average, in general, statistically, married men live longer. Married women are financially better off. And children that grow up under parental care have less emotional problems. They get arrested less. They do better in school, and on and on and on and on. Society has spent millions of dollars to prove through social studies what the Word of God just tells you in plain black and white for free.
Amen.
That's a good thing from God.
Right.
Okay, another in that second category of things that God has just blessed humanity with is after the flood, when Noah got off the ark, God told him a couple things. One, He said, you can eat meat. That was a good blessing to be able to be allowed to do that. I think you'd agree. Which opened up the door for a lot of things. But He also said, until the end of the world, there's going to be summer, winter, springtime, harvest. In other words, God has blessed us with overall a generally stable environment where we can go out, plant, invest, grow things, build houses, just have somewhat of some stability. Okay, that's a blessing. So category one are things that God just gave to His children. That involves the church, the Word of God. People that aren't born-again children of God aren't going to truly care about those things. They might hang around the periphery if mama makes them, or, you know, they may have to study the Bible in college just to get a religious credit or something, but they don't really care. The second category of things are things that God has blessed humanity with in general, which are good things. The third category of things, though, I would say, I'd put it this way, they're things that God didn't directly give humanity. And this is where we get confused and trip up sometimes. You know, there's a lot of things going on out in the world that God didn't design and come up with. Now, it doesn't mean God didn't know about them. It doesn't mean that the God of grace of God can't overcome them. It's just God didn't directly give them to us. Now, in that category, I think there's two major things. One, of course, is sin. God did not give us sin, okay? Sin entered the world through Adam. Whereas by one man sin entered the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. If you look out there at sinful things, okay, God didn't design those. Okay, God has nothing to do with the introduction of pornography into this world. It has destroyed people. It has ended marriages. It has turned people into just horrible beings. God didn't come up with that. And there's things that are mentioned in the Word of God like drunkenness, you know, fornication, adultery, murder, stealing, all those things. Listen, God did not design those or give us those. Now, you all understand that, and I don't need to spend a lot of time on that. Okay, I don't have an outline today, but we said number one were the things that God gave His children. Number two were the things that God gave humanity. Number three are some things that God just didn't give that man has come up with or designed in some way. And in that category, sin is there because sin is man's fault, okay, and we're suffering the consequences of it. But number two in that are just other things that have come along as a course of development of civilization that aren't necessarily in and of themselves sinful. They're kind of neutral things. See, these are the things that trip us up. Because if you're a child of God and you read the Word of God, okay, I hope that you're going to want to be a part of the church. I hope that you're going to value the institutions that God put on this earth, like marriage being between one man and one woman. You're going to value that and support that. You're going to thank God for the blessings of life of being able to go out and labor and plan and grow and all those things. The things that get us in trouble are in that third category of things that are just kind of neutral. We're not sure what to do with them. And let me give you kind of a brief example of how that might work. A few years ago, someone gave me a tractor. Now, I had wanted a tractor for a while. But, you know, this expense would come along and this one would come along. And I just, you know, I'd put it off. And, you know, and one of my relatives bought a piece of land and a tractor came with it and he didn't need it. So he just brings it to my house one day and unloads it and says, "Here, man, it's yours." And I was thinking, man, this is great. I finally got my tractor. What a blessing. Well, it is a blessing. You know, it's a blessing. But I found out pretty soon that you have a tractor, you have to have implements for it or it does you no good. And then I found out that you have to put diesel fuel in it and oil, and you have to service it. And if you ever want to use it other than somewhere around your house, you got to have a trailer. And the next thing you know, you spent more money on the trailer and the implements and the upkeep than the thing was worth. So was it a blessing or not? I'm still trying to figure that one out. Some days I think this is a great blessing. And some days I think, you know what, I would be better off to give it back. See, it's a neutral thing. The word tractor is not found in the Bible that I know of, but it's not inherently sinful, is it? It's not necessarily sinful. It can get you killed real fast, but it's not necessarily sinful. It's one of those things where you look at it and you're like, what do I do with this? Do I need to keep it, spend money on it, and use it when I can, or do I just need to watch those weeds grow and sit back and have a good time with the kids and give it to somebody else? Let them worry about taking care of the thing. It's hard to know sometimes. Right? So those are the categories that we get confused about. Is this a blessing? Is it a curse? Now, like I said, if it falls in main category one we talked about, it's from God to His children, His church, His word, the conviction of His Spirit to lead you to repentance. That is an unmitigated good that we ought to stand up for and love and invest in. If it's in the second category of things God gave humanity in general, like marriage and the ability to work and those sorts of things, we ought to appreciate that and we ought to use it like God intended it to be used. When you get down to the third category, if it's number one, if it's sinful, don't do it. Just let it go, put it aside, beg God's grace to help you repent and get over it. If it's one of these things that confuses you, here's kind of how the concept ought to work, I think. Go back to number one and number two. And see if it messes them up in some way. You follow me?
Yeah.
You get the job offer for $1 million a year to move to Alaska. Is it a blessing? Is it a curse? Well, what's it going to do to number one, the things that God directly gave me and told me to take care of, like the church? If I move off up there, is there a church? Is God calling me to go there and start a church? You know, if the answer is no, well, then no matter how good that looks, I don't think it's a blessing because it's going to conflict, see, with what you know God gave you. You follow me?
Yeah.
All right? Maybe young man, young lady, you meet somebody and you develop a relationship and you realize pretty quickly that this person doesn't value the things of God like you do and they're starting to pull you away from the church. Well, even though finding a spouse is a blessing, that particular one probably is not.
Right.
Because they're pulling you away from something God directly gave you.
Amen.
And not only that, did God directly give you the church, We read in Ephesians, the fifth chapter, it says, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. In Acts 20, Paul says that he purchased the church with his blood. See? So see, the service to the church supersedes those other things. So when I get down to this category and I'm like, well, this opportunity came along, this situation came along, this activity came along, but it's going to interfere with what I know God gave me, then I need to look at that and say, okay, I'm not going to do it. Because eventually, it'll turn out to be a curse to me. Amen. See, lots of things fall in this category. Okay? Playing musical instruments, for instance, that's something that my family enjoys. There's not anything inherently evil or inherently good about playing a guitar, fiddle, violin, mandolin, whatever. Really, there's not. But if it gets to the point where, you know, we're having to go to music lessons so much, okay, that we can't come to church, or we're playing at so many events that we can't come to church, it just became a curse.
Right.
Now, it could have been a blessing, because it's kind of neutral, but it became a curse. You can plug a lot of things in there.
Yeah.
And if I'm getting too hard or harsh on you one day, please know that I love you. I say that sometimes. Okay, what's some other things you could put in there? Maybe your family doesn't like music. Well, what about sports? You know, it might be Little League baseball or T-ball or something. Well, that's not inherently evil or sinful, is it? No, it's not. Okay? What if it pulls you away from the things God directly gave you, though? See, God gave you the church. God gave you the family. Those are gifts from God. If my music, my Little League, my hunting, my fishing, my shopping, my golf causes me to neglect those God-given things, then guess what? You've just been drawn away, to use the language of Deuteronomy chapter 30, and what could have been a blessing is now becoming a curse. You follow me?
Yes.
I think this is how we have to decide. And the Bible gives us some practical, I believe very practical examples of how that ought to work. Turn with me, if you would, to Psalm 128. And this is probably the last place I'll go before I close here. Because again, ask yourself this question. Look at whatever activities that you have that you just absolutely love that maybe are not part of the church or maybe are not part of home life. They're just activities. Maybe like it could be music. It might be some sports you love. It could be, you know, shopping. It could be golf. It could be NASCAR. It could be a lot of things. You know, think of something that occupies your time and your mind. It might be gardening. You know, it could be a lot of different stuff. Maybe watching television, whatever. And so, you know, if God really had wanted humanity to have that activity, could he not have just invented it over there at the beginning? Well, sure he could. Okay? That doesn't necessarily mean, though, that the activity in and of itself is wrong. Okay, you know, we have the blessing today of using the internet. You know, that can be a great good. Brother Tim just mentioned he's been watching baptisms in Kenya on WhatsApp. Now, I think that's time well spent, okay? That is encouraging this brother, okay? It's encouraging the brothers over there. But now, is everybody using the internet and their phone to watch baptisms in Kenya? I don't think so. So see, something that could be a good, could be a blessing, okay? It can very easily be drawn away into the area of curse. So you got to ask yourself, you know, I'm safe when it comes to the church. Now, have you ever been hurt in the church? You probably have. I have. We probably all have. Maybe not in this church, maybe, but you probably hurt somewhere in church. Okay? Maybe that church has some house cleaning to do. Okay? But the church is an institution, the people of God. We sang about this morning, I love the people of God. I love to be around God's people. Good, honest people who are trying to serve the Lord. That's a blessing. It's a beautiful thing. It is an unmitigated good that doesn't need qualifications. God just said it was good and gave it to us and came and purchased it with his blood. I don't think he did that lightly, okay? The blessings of a godly marriage, a godly home, God gave us those. And if the things out here that inherently in and of themselves are just sort of neutral, if they come and start to try to assault those things or take the place of those things or pull you away from those things, brothers and sisters, we need to be very careful.
Amen.
We need to back up and repent.
Yeah.
And that doesn't matter if you're in Kenya, Zambia, Ocala, Elrod, Birmingham, New York City. It's across the board.
Amen.
Psalm 128, we read this. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways. He says, I set before you a blessing, I set before you a curse. What does a blessed man look like? You know, we sang this morning that some people hold up those who are noble and sage, who are the beneficiaries of great health, who have great wealth. But then we sang, oh, but I'd just rather be in the house of the Lord than be with those folks. Here's what a blessed man looks like, or a blessed woman. You want to know what they look like? Are they rich and famous? Maybe, maybe not. Are they poor? Maybe, maybe not. Do they have a new car? Maybe, maybe not. Do they live in a big house? Maybe, maybe not. Here's how God defines a blessed man. It's one that feareth the Lord and walketh in His ways. Because see, a man that fears the Lord and walks His ways, if he gets a tractor, he's not going to let it interfere with the service to the Lord.
Right.
If he's on the internet, he's not going to let it interfere with the service to the Lord. If he signs his kid up for Little League, he's not going to let it interfere with the service for the Lord. And if his kid plays a musical instrument, he's not going to let that get in the way of them serving the Lord, because he fears God. And he wants to walk in the way of the Lord, see? And here's what he says about him. This is the man that fears the Lord, that walks in His way. He's blessed. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. See, he's got number one in the right perspective. The church God gave him, the service of God, the Word of God, walking after the Spirit of God, repenting when he's wrong, learning the fear of God in his heart. He's got that part right. So then the Lord blesses the number two things that God gave us. What were the second category we talked about? The ability to have a spouse, to have a family, to raise up children. The ability to have stability on this earth where I can go out and labor. And in general, I can reap the fruits of those rewards. See, if I get number one in the right place, then the Lord blesses number two.
Amen.
He says, thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. Oh, people out in the world, children of God, they're looking for happiness in some things that God says are curses. They need to back up. They're looking in the wrong place. See, they got one and two out of perspective. They think, oh, if I go out and work harder, then I'll have more stuff, and then I'll be blessed. The Bible says, no, line it up and serve God first.
Amen.
Give Him your first fruits. Give Him your best. And I'm not just talking about money. See, your time, your effort. When a new activity comes along, is this activity going to be a blessing for man? Is it going to be a curse? See what the Bible says. Does it interfere with number one? Is it going to get in the way of serving the Lord and His church? If it is, just don't do it, because it will eventually become a curse. It might take 10 years. It might take 20. And you might not even live to see it. But you can bank on it. That's what the Bible says. On the other hand, if you fear Him and walk in His ways, you will eat the labor of your hands. You can be happy. It shall be well with thee. See, line up number one. Number two starts the lineup. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. Thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. You know what the picture is of here? It's a picture of a man who's fearing God, who's walking in righteousness, who's serving the Lord, and he's looking around him at a wife, if God blesses him with a wife, and his children like a bunch of little fruitful plants that are lined up around a table. Isn't that a picture of domestic felicity? Isn't that a picture of 1850 America, 1900 America, 1920?
Yeah.
1950, the TV comes along, they're not around the table anymore, they're all in there with the TV dinner. Okay? The Bible will tell you what it ought to look like.
Right.
And the Bible will tell you what will happen if you don't line up. Here's a blessed picture. Behold, thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children and peace upon Israel. Give you one more example of how this plays out, and I'll close, and I thank you for your time. I began dating my wife when I was 18 years old. I was very young. She was very young. She was 15. Now, of course, when I say dating, the only thing I was allowed to do was come over to her house. So, initially, just kind of get that straight. But, Amy's family has some things going on there that a lot of people would look at as maybe being a curse. They've got some afflicted family members. You know, they have to stay home a lot with them and take care of them, and it's an inconvenience. So I started coming over there, and I noticed something. They sit down and eat together a lot. You know, they're not just running all over the place and running here and running there. You know, and I noticed something else. They pray together every time they eat. And I noticed something else. You know, the father of the home is sitting there, you know, and he's got the bounty spread out before him, and he's holding hands and bowing his head, and he's praying. Then I met her grandparents. You know what? They're doing the same thing on her mom's side. Dad's side had passed on years before. You know, the activities that we had, they're around the table. We're sitting there holding hands, praying. Now, one time, my mother-in-law's mother got a little excited and started talking fast and spit some salad in my spaghetti. But you know what? I felt such love at that table, I didn't even care. She reached over and scooped it out, and I just ate the rest of it. So Amy's grandmother died on my birthday 16 years ago, and her grandfather passed several years ago, eight years ago. But sometimes when I sit around my table at home and I stretch out my hand and Elena's over here and Nate's over here and we bow our heads and pray, I think about them. Because you see, they didn't live to see it. All right? But they chose blessing. They chose honor to the Lord. And when it came time to be at church, they were at church. When it came time to pray, they bowed their heads and prayed. And I still see it in my in-law's home. And I trust by the grace of God it will be in mine. See, if you do what it says and you choose blessing, you may not always live to see the ultimate fulfillment of all of that blessing. That blessing might be on your children. Yeah. Hey, you know what? If you choose the other way, same thing's true.
That's right.
Same thing is true.
Yeah.
I pray we would choose blessing.
Amen.
Hold hands. Pray. Eat together. Don't let the world run you ragged.
Amen.
With things that are neutral in and of themselves, but pull you away from the good that God gave you.
Amen.
The church of the Lord Jesus Christ, raising up families that love Him. Listen, God gave us those things, and there is not an activity in the world that will come along tomorrow or 5,000 years from now if the Lord doesn't come back that will ever replace that in the eyes of God. And I look around and I see a lot of people today that I know you are trying to fulfill that. Okay? You know what I ask you? Don't be weary in well-doing. In due season, you will reap if you faint not. In due season, you shall reap if you faint not. I love you. I thank you for your time. Brother Tim.